This is George M. Landis speaking on What's Earth the Scriptures. We're very happy to again visit you in your home or to be with you as you're riding along the highway. We've been considering the blessedness of the Lord's return for his own, when the dead in Christ will be raised and when the living believers will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Little wonder that those who have been saved by Christ love him and also love his appearing, looking forward with keen anticipation for that event which may occur at any moment. It is quite natural and proper for us to give some thought to those who are unsaved, perhaps members of our own family, our relatives and friends. What would happen to them if the Lord came today and caught us believers away? Does the Bible have anything to say on this very serious matter? Yes, friends, it does. Let us read together in Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that it might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In these verses we see first the rectifying of a false idea concerning the day of the Lord. Evidently the young church of Thessalonica had been the victim of false teaching. Someone professing to speak with the Spirit's power and in accordance with the Word of God, and even bringing an alleged letter from Paul, a forgery of course, in support of their contention that the day of the Lord had already come. The day of the Lord is that extended period of time which begins with the return of Christ in power and great glory at the end of the great tribulation to establish his millennial reign, and continues until the end of the millennium. The young believers were evidently confusing the tribulation through which they were then passing with the great tribulation, that time of unparalleled trouble which will come upon the earth immediately prior to the day of the Lord. The apostle then directed their attention to the ripening apostasy. As we read in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away or an apostasy, as the margin renders it, first. The falling away had begun even in Paul's day, or as he says in verse 7 of our portion, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He warned the Ephesian elders of it in Acts chapter 20. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, shall draw away disciples after them. Many similar warnings are found in the epistles. The apostle John wrote that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. This apostasy has continued throughout the subsequent centuries and will rapidly ripen in the closing days of this dispensation, as many scriptures prophesy. Our attention is directed in the third place to the restraining power. The text tells of a hindering power in the world which restrains the mystery of iniquity from reaching its climax. Verse 7 says, only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. The use of the personal pronoun he indicates that this hindering power is a person, since we can reach no other conclusion than that the hinderer is the Holy Spirit who indwells believers and the church. This world little appreciates the debt it owes to the Holy Spirit. He hinders the advance of iniquity through Christians whom he indwells. They are the salt of the earth, arresting its moral decay. Dear unsaved listener, would you want to live in a place where there were no Christians? Would you want to raise your family in such an environment? I believe you are honest enough to say that you would not want to live there. It is Christians who keep the facts of God, Christ, heaven, hell, and eternity before the people of this world. Thus, the Christian individually and the Christians corporately forming the church, giving out the word of God's truth, serves as a great deterrent to sin. We're next informed of the removal of the restraining power. He who hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. It is not difficult to understand how this will come to pass. For when the church is raptured, is caught out of the world to be with Christ, the Holy Spirit who indwells the church, for we are built together for an habitation of God through His Spirit, and who indwells individuals, will thereby be taken out of the world. Of course, the Holy Spirit being God possesses the attribute of omnipresence, that is, He is present everywhere. However, in the sense in which He came into the world at Pentecost, in response to the Lord's prayer to the Father, in that sense, He will be gone. The immediate consternation of multitudes who suddenly discover that members of their own family, some friends, neighbors, fellow workmen, have suddenly disappeared from the earth, and the news which will be flashed over the air, the thousands all over the world are gone, is difficult to imagine, for it beggars all description. Many feel that this will so startle the unsaved that in vast numbers they will crowd the empty churches and accept Christ. However, Scripture does not so teach. Instead, the fear and confusion will soon be forgotten due to the revelation of the man of sin. Notice the clear statement of God's word, then, that is, after the restraining power has been removed, then shall that wicked one be revealed. Various men through the history have, from Nero on, have been proclaimed the Antichrist by mistaken and misguided individuals. Some of us can remember when many thought, and some even taught, that Mussolini, Hitler, or Stalin was the Antichrist. Such speculation is utterly unscriptural, for that sinister individual will not be revealed so long as the true church, the dwelling place of the restraining power, is still on the earth. And now the tragedy is seen. In the retributive judgment of blindness upon the Christ rejecters. Instead of turning to Christ in great numbers, as some would have us believe they will surely do, listen to the solemn statement of Holy Scripture. And for this cause, that is, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This will be more than the darkness which naturally comes from light being rejected. God will then inflict as a judgment for rejecting His Son spiritual blindness under which they will be so deluded that they will believe the devil's lie. Under this strong delusion, the things of Satan will appear as the things of God to their darkened souls. The purpose of this blindness is that all might be damned. What awful words, and yet they are the voice of God faithfully warning of the awful sin of rejecting His beloved Son. The justice of it cannot be questioned when we once realize the heinousness of their sin. That there will be many people saved during the great tribulation period which follows the rapture of the church is clear from Revelation chapter 7, where we read of 144,000 of the tribes of Israel who will be sealed. Also, a great number of Gentiles will be saved. However, it seems very clear that those who have heard and rejected the gospel will have no opportunity to repent after the rapture, but will be the victims of divinely imposed blindness. So those who are saved during the tribulation period are evidently those who have never heard the gospel. And finally, we have presented the revelation of the Son of Man. In the word, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The one whom the world crucified will yet be glorified in the scene of his shame and humiliation. The man of sin will be destroyed by the man from heaven. Dear listeners, what solemn truth is this? It should cause each one of us to inquire, am I really saved? If Christ should come today, would I go with him or be left behind to share the awful fate of the Christ rejecters? Dear listener, if you are saved, this truth should prompt you to earnest effort in seeking the salvation of your unsaved relatives, friends, neighbors, and acquaintances. This truth should lead us to persistent personal evangelism. Surely no great truth of Scripture is more pertinent at the present time than this of which we have been speaking, the return of Christ and the condition of those who are unsaved when our Lord returns, those who have refused to hear the gospel and have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We trust you'll be with us for our next message when we will speak upon the great subject, loving his appearing. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.